time for celebration. A lot of times we don't understand that God really cares about us celebrating. In fact, it's just simply as this, it's the will of God. In fact, I want to just share something with you. If you really study the scripture, you'll find in the Old Testament that tithing really wasn't 10%, but it was really 23%. And here's how it works. It's really kind of crazy. 10% went to the priesthood in order to do the work of the ministry. 10% was set aside for pleasures of that family. Did you know that? And another 3% went for the government and the facilities to manage everything. And so that really wasn't a 10% like a lot of people think. It was really more than that. But I like the 10% that's set aside because God cares about what the family does, what people do. They didn't go on vacations like you and I do. They didn't get in their car and drive up the coast and eat at a restaurant overlooking the ocean or spend the night at a hotel down at Disneyland. They didn't get to do those kinds of things. But God cared about them having some pleasure, whatever it was, and had the finances for those pleasures. God cares about celebration. You know, the Lord knows a lot about you and I, more about you and I than we know about ourselves. He knows that we're a people that oftentimes forget about what God has done in our life. And he calls for a feast, if you will. The feasts of Israel were really quite interesting. There were so many of them. They happened all the time on a monthly basis, on a bi-monthly basis. There were just many of them. And God's given me four to show you some interesting things about the feasts of the Old Testament. May I say this before I show you anything? Is that remember that the Old Testament were physical principles that were physical that show us spiritual insight today. So what took place in the physical story in the Old Testament is a spiritual truth that we're to hold on to today. For an example, the physical ability of Israel to leave Egypt and to go into the promised land, which we're going to talk about just in a few minutes, is exactly the spiritual concept is for us in the New Testament is that we have left the bondage of this world and of the devil, and we're now going into the things of God. There's a future ahead of us, and every one of us in here have our own personal promised land that God wants to develop and bring forth in our lives. Wants to take us somewhere. So it's a biblical principle that the Old Testament is simply a physical action of what the spiritual principle is that we're to grab a hold of in our hearts that help us with our relationship with God in the New Testament. And I just wanted to share as there are so many feasts, and the word feast is an interesting word. It means this, and I'm going to pop it up on the overhead for you. It's a congregational time, listen to this, for a festival. I thought that was wild, a festival. I mean, a festival to me is like party, food, celebration, excitement, friends, joy. All of that at one time. Here's this God in heaven that knows we have a tendency to get so religious that we kind of like get stale and we get, you know, without any joy and happiness in our life. And he's now telling us that the congregation needs to come together in a special time and have a festival, a special time to celebrate. And I use this word, very important word, and remember. There was a reason, not only that we needed as human beings to let off the steam and be excited about something, but we needed to remember something. Because God knows we humans have a tendency to forget. I remember one person who stood and gave testimony of the great things that God had done in his life. And how God had opened a door and he could buy a home he never thought in a million years he would ever have. They got down, him and his wife, on their knees and asked God to bless them with this home. And God opened it up and gave them this great house. And he came to the church and he gave great testimony. Within 1 year, he had completely forgotten. Within 1 year, he was out of the church. We so easily forget about the good things that God has done and is doing in our lives that God wanted these festivals, these times, if you will, of special feasts these celebration times that we would celebrate who God was and what God's done in our life, and it kept the things of God before us on a regular basis. Let me say it again. It kept the things that God has done for us on a regular basis so that we don't end up like others, forgetting what God has done for us. And that's what a festival, that's what the feast that God would have for us to remember on a regular basis. Let me just say it like this. Someone came along recently and confronted me at the back door as I was greeting people. He started to say some things about the Christmas trees that were up. And I could tell he was angry, and I could tell he was wanting me to listen to what he had to say. I kind of get old as I am. I'm old sometimes. You know, I get a little cranky, I guess, you know. And quite frankly, I don't know if it's cranky or if I've just passed the age of really giving a flip what anybody thinks. And I could tell the guy was really having a hard time coming to this church because of Christmas trees. You see, Christmas tree used to be a sign of a cult in the fertility god of that particular cult. And then it was taken by a Christian church and it was turned around, and the evergreen church was there as a symbol of the evergreen itself, of the everlasting commitments and promises of God's word and everlasting life. And the evergreen church represented that. And then, of course, we brought into the picture the very birth of Christ. A lot of times what happens is we get so religious, we're tied up in the wrong, not seeing the good. And we get so tied up in the, you know, the religious way of doing things, we forget to let it out, relax a little bit, take a deep breath. I love it in this day and age, the words chill, just kind of cruise a little bit and let it happen. And all of a sudden, this guy was just getting uptight. And I asked him, I said, first of all, do you go to this church? And he says, well, this is my first time. I said, okay. And you want me to change the whole church because you just walked in? You want me to change everything? See, what we're doing is we're lifting up Jesus during this time of year. Have you noticed how the world is using less and less of the name of Jesus? It's no longer Christmas, it's Xmas. It's no longer allowed. It's a holiday. It's not a Christmas holiday at school. It's a holiday, or they call it winter holiday. And all of a sudden, Jesus is out of there all the time. And if anybody ought to lift up and keep the name of Jesus, don't you think it ought to be the church? And in order for that to happen, don't you think that we ought to learn something about celebration? That there's feasts that God wants us to remember and not forget about who he is and what he has done for each and every one of us in here. And when we gather together this coming Friday night, all the ladies that are going to be in this place, I hope you're here on time, because the introduction is bizarre, mind-boggling, and the exit is even as great, if not more exciting. And you need to be on time because it's a time of celebration of the birth of the King of Glory, the one who came and poured out his life for a people like us who didn't deserve anything, but he loved us so much that he laid his life down and died for us. In other words, he saw you and saw me as very valuable, and we ought to celebrate about who he is. And really, that's what this is all about, is preparing you a time for celebration. I want to look at four of the feasts, if I may. And I'm going to give you the kind of the time schedule when they happened, which is really interesting. The Jewish calendar is different than our calendar, if you probably already know that. But if you don't know that, January is our first of the year, first month in the year. But in Jewish calendar, April is the first month of the year, which is probably, and I can't say this for sure, probably around the time that Jesus was really born. We just celebrate the birth on December 25th, because that's a time when the world needs to know that the King is of glory is born on this planet for each and every one of us. And we took advantage of that hundreds and even thousands of years ago. So you will find that I'm going to give you some feasts and what they meant, because symbolically the Old Testament, remember, is speaking about spiritual truths in the New Testament. Did you get that? So when God came along and said, I have a feast for you of this particular type, it was really saying something about how you and I together today ought to worship the Lord and celebrate with remembrance of what he has done for us today. In other words, don't just come into the room and think that's all this is about. It's really about a celebration of what God has done, what for, because it reminds us about the great things that he's done and the great things he's going to continue to do in our life. Does anybody understand that? And the first one I wanted to share with you, there's a ton of them, but I felt like God just jumped out at the page at four of them for me tonight. And the first one's a Feast of Passover. It took place on the 14th day of April, which, remember, is the first of the year from the Jewish calendar. And the example of Passover is an interesting example. And what it says to all of us is so much. In other words, here's this celebration, here's this feast of Passover. And most people don't understand even what it symbolically meant. Here's what it means, literally, that you'll find that Israel was in captivity for hundreds of years to the Egyptians. And they were slaves. Do you remember the story? And they were in bondage. And here comes Moses. And Moses is going before Pharaoh as he's anointed by God to talk to Pharaoh about letting God's people go. Pharaoh is not about to do it. He's an arrogant, pompous man. He doesn't want anything to do with this Israeli God. He doesn't want anything to do with the Hebrew God. He doesn't want anything to do with it at all. Doesn't believe in any of that. He's got his own gods, has his own thing. And the Bible says that his heart was hardened. In other words, he just put up a fight against the things that Moses was requesting of him. You remember, you've seen the movie, so I know you know that story. And you'll find that literally what takes place is that the children of Israel have all of these plagues that are on their behalf coming against Pharaoh, softening his heart to let the children of Israel go. The very last plague that comes, and I think it's about Exodus, the 12th chapter, is, if you will, is the plague that the firstborn child, male and female, firstborn, of male or female of the human race, as well as every animal that's on the planet, that is going to die. There's a, if you will, an angel of death that's going to come through the camps of Israel, come through the camps of Egypt, and every firstborn child is going to die. And the only way that Israel could escape that is an interesting way. They had to take the blood of the lamb that was properly positioned and proper for sacrifice, a spotless lamb. Now, the idea here is, this is obviously, is Jesus without sin. And the blood of that lamb had to be placed on the doorsteps and on the door covering of the house. So when the spirit of death came through, the angel of death came through, he saw that in that house, the blood was there, and the blood protected those people from death. And it's called Passover because then this, if you will, angel of death passed over that house and went to a house that didn't have the blood on it. You say, well, wow, what a wild story. It's the story of Jesus. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Why is it symbolic? Why is it important for us? Why should we celebrate such a thing? And I'm not saying we stop and we celebrate Passover itself. Here's how we celebrate as Christians. It's called Easter. And it's called the resurrection, and it's called salvation, and it's called eternal life, all because of the shed blood that's on our house by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was just a picture in the past of what is reality, the truth today. And if you never had anything else to celebrate and you're born of the Spirit of God, and if you're not, we'll take care of that before the night's over. But if you're born of the Spirit of God and you had nothing else to celebrate this holiday season, you ought to celebrate, because guess what? You have eternal life because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that in itself is so exciting. I like what Peter says. In fact, I'll pop it up on the overhead. It's so cool. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse number 3, says it like this. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his, and I love this, abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living or lively, one translation says, a living hope. In other words, I have a hope that's not dead. I don't have a hope that goes nowhere. I have got a hope that is alive. It is lively. It is living hope. Through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Man, I have got salvation because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. It's the listen, the spirit of death has passed over my house. And if you're born of the Spirit of God, you're going to live forever. And that's worth celebrating. Come on, somebody. We're in a celebration mode this whole month, celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The second thing I wanted to point out that God spoke to me about was a feast of Pentecost. A lot of times we think Pentecost is a New Testament word, but the feast of Pentecost was a feast that was hundreds of years established way before this particular time, even thousands of years before this particular time that we know it and see it in the New Testament. The Feast of Pentecost was in the third month, June. And what it really meant, it was held at the end of the wheat harvest. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but wheat is a symbol of the stability of life. In fact, you'll find that oftentimes. Where there was wheat, the people knew they were going to live for another year. You and I don't even think in those kinds of terms at all. If we want wheat, we go buy it. You want wheat, you get it in your bread. You want wheat, you go to the store. You don't have any idea what goes on in the rest of the world in order to produce the wheat. But in those days, may I say this to you, wheat was a symbol of a stable life. And when you had wheat, you got to live. You got to be filled with the pleasures of life. Wheat was not only economically filling, but it was spiritually filling and it was physically filling. And you were filled, if you will, because of the wheat that you had. And at the end of June, you will find that there's this great feast that God says it's time to celebrate because now the wheat is coming in and you will be filled. And they would see this wheat and they would thank God for it because now they have another season of being filled. And it was called Pentecost. Wow. I never knew that. Someone might say. But remember Acts, the second chapter, verse number 1. I'll just pop it up on the overhead for you. In verse number 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Verse number 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I love this. I love the words, filled the whole house. Wow, verse number 3. And it says, and there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each one of them. In verse number 4, and listen to these words, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, Pentecost means a filling. And can you get any fuller than you can get when you get God? Because in a relationship with God, the fullest you're going to get is when the Holy Ghost gets down on the inside of you and he fills you. They were all filled and they spoke in tongues. My goodness, my friends, it's so important for us to see that this is so important for us because it's the staple of life. And we celebrate Pentecost. And every day we ought to be excited because you know why? Because we've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. I don't have to face tomorrow alone. I don't have to face tomorrow not knowing what's going on. If I don't know how to make it, God that lives on the inside of me, he knows how to make it. If I don't know where I'm going, he can show me. He can give me direction. He's the best GPS system there's ever been for mankind. It's the Holy Ghost that fills you when you get God on the inside of you. And it's time to celebrate The very fact that we're together and we're filled with the things of God, and God wants us to have a, can I just say it like this? A lot of people don't like this word, but I don't care. You got to hear it. God wants us to have a party when we gather together, because God has done great and mighty marvelous things. Come on, somebody. The third thing, and I love this, we're talking about these wonderful Jewish feasts that were before us so that we can get an idea of what's going on and how we should celebrate today. The Feast of the Trumpets. Trumpets were blown and the people would come. It would take place usually in the seventh month, which is October in the Jewish calendar. And it was so fascinating because it would gather the people. And what they would do is the priest would go down to the Pool of Siloam, which is in, if you will, in Jerusalem. Deborah and I have been there. In the pool, they would gather, they would take water out of the pool. And they would take the water to the temple, and there on the altar of the temple, they would put the water and dump it all over, saying something to God. God, we need a great raining season so that we can have more of a crop next year. In other words, they were asking God for one more year. And what a celebration it was. The people, the horns would sound, the people would eat, they would bring their fatted animals, they would party and celebrate that God was going to answer their prayers and get more rain during winter that they needed in order to have a great harvest that spring. What a thing that we have. Every time we gather together, the water oftentimes for us means the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit means something greater for every one of us. It really means a greater relationship with God, a greater relationship with Jesus, all because that water symbolized something for us. Because when you have a great relationship with Jesus, you have a great harvest in your future. And let me say this, each and every month and year of your life. And it's all based on your great relationship with Jesus. That's all based on your anointing by God from the Holy Spirit. And God is making a statement here on this Feast of the Trumpets. In John the 10th chapter, in verse number 9, let's just pop it up on the overhead. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, listen to this, there's no other way to enter but by him. He will be saved, and I will go in and out and find, and this is funny, the word, you're going to find something. Notice what you're going to find. What is it? Pastures. Where did that come from? Because we're all sheep, and we're going to find the pastures. We're going to find the life, going to find the fulfillment. I don't know where you're at tonight, but if you're looking for a life of fulfillment, you're going to find it only in Christ Jesus. And he makes it very clear in verse number 10. He says these words. He says, the thief does not come, you know who the thief is, except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And that's what the relationship with Jesus is all about. Verse number 11, I love these words. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Didn't Jesus give us his life? Today we carry the life of God on the inside of us. Oh, somebody ought to give me a great. That is worth celebration. That is worth a shout. That is worth a dance. That is worth a hand clap. That is worth your lifting your heart. That's worth lifting your hands. That's lifting your voice. That's because it's a great relationship with Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. The fourth thing that God gave me to give to you, and I love this one, it's my favorite of all of them, the Feast of Dedication. It's a deep reconsecration of the temple. And it's a feast that they gather together so everybody would consecrate themselves once again. And someone might say to me, well, why do you have to consecrate yourself once again? Did you know that every day the world sucks a little bit of God's life out of you? And sometimes you need to get someplace to get more of God's life in you. And there's not a thing wrong with saying, God, here I am. And where I was last year is not where I'm going to be in the future. And I'm getting greater in you. And I'm getting bigger in you. And you're getting bigger in me and greater in me. And Lord, I'm making a whole heart commitment. What I had committed to you last year was great, but this year I'm making a greater commitment. And you know what? It doesn't mean you're getting saved again. You're already saved. It just means the relationship is deep. That means that reconsecration of the temple was very important. In other words, it's a recommitment that says, God, I made a commitment, but I'm refreshing my own thinking about where I'm at. You know, sometimes we just go and we get bored out and we get forgetful and we forgot about where we came from. We forgot about what we were like. We forgot about the excitement when we first got saved. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We were thrilled. We were hungry. We went to church all the time. And then all of a sudden over the years, we start weaning from that. We start getting away from that. We need to make a reconsecration of our heart to God on a regular basis. And there's not a thing in the world wrong with that. And I love what it says in the word of the Lord. And it says this in Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse number 1. New Testament now, talking to every one of you. He says, as I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Man, that's called reconsecration. That means all of a sudden, Lord, he's talking to who? People that are born again. You would think, well, I'm born again. Is there more? Oh, yes. There's always more of God, and there's always more of you you can give of God, because where you were at last year, you thought you gave it all, but this year, you know there's some parts that also need to be given. It doesn't mean you're not saved. You're saved, but you're getting deeper. Hear me now. You're getting deeper. Hear me now. You're getting deeper in the things of God. You can't stay the way you were. You got to keep getting deeper. And he had this, if you will, a feast of rededication. Wow. Where they got together and every year they celebrated God and they celebrated their commitment. And they said, we're going to recommit. We're up here. We're going in. We've already done a year with you. We're doing two more. We're doing three more. We're doing five more. We're doing the rest of our life until it's the end of our life. Somebody listening to what I'm saying? There are four things that we could celebrate. Number one, we are saved. Number two, we are filled. Number three, we are in relationship with God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And number four, we are reconsecrated to God. Four simple things tonight that you and I need to major in every area of our life. How about some of you that are in here tonight? You know your relationship with God is not as good as it used to be. And you need to make a reconsecration and you need to celebrate it. Some of you need to make a brand new commitment to God by getting saved, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, having a spiritual relationship with God. That's what he's talking about. It's a place of, if I may say this, listen closely, of celebration. It's a party, and God wants you to party. I don't know if you know this or not. This is not new to Deborah and I. When we designed this church, in fact, Deborah designed this church, she designed it 15 years ago with that courtyard as a place for parties, for celebration of Jesus, where the congregation could get together. This is not new for us. It might be new for you, but it's not new for us. And when you come into this house and you see that courtyard, that's a courtyard that says, here, we're Christians. And we're not all bummed out and religious, stuffy, and don't live the life that God would have us live. We celebrate the goodness of God and the things of God. Come on, somebody. And that's what that courtyard is saying every time we come into the house of God. It's there to celebrate the goodness of God. You ought to give the Lord a great big praise tonight. So when people come up and say, you go to a church that has a Christmas tree? Yep. Because we're not celebrating some fertility God. We're celebrating the King of Glory and his birth. That's what this is all about. And we're not joining the ranks of putting down the name of Jesus this time of year. We're joining the minority that's lifting up the name of Jesus. That's what this is all about. And we're being prepared. This entire month of December is a month of celebration of Jesus. And every time we come into the house of God, we're going to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is worthy. He is the King of Glory, and he's worthy of our shout. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our dance. He's worthy of our expressions. He is the King of Glory. And that's what this is all about and why we come into the house of God. We are celebrating Jesus. If that's okay with you, then give the Lord a great big praise. Isn't that good? My goodness, isn't that good?